WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief, immigration alerts. Some mayors, like Andre Saez of Paterson, New Jersey, are trying to reassure residents to stay calm amid reports of ICE raids.
People are not going to work. The children are not going to school. People are reluctant to go and even visit their doctor.
Vice President Vance visited Damascus, Virginia, to assess the recovery efforts from Hurricane Helene. He's accusing the federal government from the Biden administration to be MIA.
I think, unfortunately, while the people have done an incredible job at rebuilding this community, they have not had a federal government that's really been on their side.
Wall Street worries as tech stocks tumbled over the threat of a new high-performing, low-cost Chinese app called DeepSeek.
This idea that a Chinese startup can come from practically nowhere and be competitive against some of the biggest AI companies raises larger questions about how competitive these U.S. companies truly are.
That's our tech contributor, Ian Schur. CBS News Brief, I'm Matt Piper.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The deadline for the annual Wisconsin Governor's Business Plan Contest is fast approaching. The yearly contest, produced by the Wisconsin Technology Council, asks entrepreneurs to submit their business ideas and connects them with resources like business plan templates and networking contacts. Finalists in the contest could also receive shares of cash and service prizes. The deadline to enter the 2025 competition is Friday at 11:59 p.m. Contest applications can be submitted online at govsbizplancontest.com. The Dane County judge who struck down parts of the controversial Act 10 has granted a request from Republican lawmakers to put a temporary hold on the decision while they pursue an appeal. Judge Jacob Frost found that the risk of enforcing the ruling while the appeal was still pending could cause confusion and chaos if the decision was overturned by the appeals court after public employee unions had already started engaging in contract negotiations. If overturned by the appeals court, the ruling would be considered again by the state Supreme Court. Part of the Lower St. Croix River is being considered for designation as a critical habitat for two endangered mussel species. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is accepting public input on the potential designation, which would cover the section of the river below the dam at St. Croix Falls to the mouth of the Mississippi River. The designation would add protections under the Endangered Species Act for the land that would affect potential future projects nearby. Public input on the designation must be submitted by February 11th. The ATV and UTV County Forest Trails in Eau Claire have been reopened due to a lack of snowy conditions. According to a press release from the Eau Claire County Parks, Recreation, and Forestry Department, the trails will still be closed again as previously scheduled beginning on March 15th. Officials are also reminding riders that using their ATVs and UTVs off the designated trails is still prohibited. ATV and UTV riders can contact the Parks Department directly for updated information on which trails are open and closed around the area. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
The Bucks are in Utah. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks road trip continues tonight against the Jazz in Salt Lake City, Utah. The Bucks losing to the Clippers in L.A. over the weekend. 127-117. Bobby Portis was not there. He was out for personal reasons, a family matter. Portis has missed only one other game this season, back in November due to an elbow injury. The Wisconsin Badgers men's basketball team with a win over Nebraska, 83-55. Badgers guard Kamari McGee and the Cornhuskers coming back after being down 19-2.
Game of basketball is it's a game of runs. So we know like teams are going to throw a punch back. No team is just going to get hit and just sit there and take the punch. So we knew that they were going to respond to how we came out talking like it's okay. Like just weather that storm. Got to keep moving forward. And we did.
Hockey, the Wisconsin men's team with a good performance against number 10th ranked Michigan in a 2-game series. The Badgers winning the first one 5-4. Game two ended in a 4-4 tie in overtime. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Weather is sponsored by Peck Roofing, Inc., veteran and locally owned and operated. Learn more online at peckroofinginc.com.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds tonight, low 20s. For tomorrow, early clouds, then breezy with some afternoon sun and warmer. Highs in the low 40s. Mild temps stick around for the rest of the week. Low 30s on Wednesday, mid-40s Thursday, mid-30s Friday. It's 32 degrees.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Seems everywhere in the state, housing has just gotten so expensive. Our current president ran on promises to help the middle class, and I'd like to know what he's going to do about the housing shortages. I went through the executive orders. I read through the speech transcript a couple of times. Nothing he really said or did in the first couple days has anything to do with helping the middle class.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
At the top of the show, I'll be joined by former Capitol Police Officer Harry Dunn explaining why Brad Schimel should never be a Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt Nair on Air.
Broadcasting across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you so much for hanging out, tuning in, playing along with us. You can be a part, 855-752-4842. Jazzed as hell, Harvey K. He's our favorite Delano Democrat. He's a professor emeritus of democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Harvey, it's always a pleasure. Welcome back.
This is the highlight of my Mondays.
Monday? Well, the whole week, man.
Well, at least... Absolutely. But if I think about it like that, then I long for the Mondays.
Longing. I love it. Harvey and I will text each other throughout the week. And so we always have lots and lots to talk about, Harvey. Before we get into some of the executive orders and the actions of this administration, as we were preparing for the show today, he asked, where are the Dems? What are the Dems doing? And I threw this one out there from the Washington Post. Democrats flipped the script, eyeing debt limit to block Trump's agenda. Now, generally, that'd be the Republicans who would hold, you know, that kind of leverage over the Democrats. And apparently there's some folks that are thinking that, well, now is the time for the Dems to maybe hold that over the Republicans' head. Obviously, that could be calamitous, but my understanding, hell, man, the Republicans are telling America there's going to be a little pain. You're just going to have to deal with it. There might be some inflation. Maybe coffee's going to go up. Eggs aren't going down. So, you know, too bad, so sad, get over it. I don't think the Dems should necessarily be as concerned. And I say that, of course, people are concerned when things are hard for people. I get that. But that's not of the Democrats' making. This is a Republican administration. Republicans can get things done if they get the votes and get things happening. They're not going to. What's your thought of the Democratic Party, you know, standing up, be it this the debt ceiling or some other major piece of legislation that the Republicans are going to need those Dems on? I think they should play super, super, super hardball. Gloves off, Harvey K. That's what I say.
Well, you should point out that when you brought up that question of the Dems playing hardball by blocking some, you know, what is it? It's what
the
it's
debt limit. The debt limit. Yeah.
The debt limit. That was instigated by my saying, "Well, where are the Democrats?"
Yes, okay. Where are the Democrats? And,
but I'm stupid. I should have checked. What? How many Democrats would have to cross the aisle to enable the Republicans to
get something done? Well, I think if the Republicans, given that it's a budgetary issue, that the Republicans all are in unison, they could get it done. But there's those hardcore Republicans who have never, ever voted for a debt ceiling raise. Yeah, so if you assume some of those cats are never going to do it anyway, they have to come to the Democrats to get anything done in that regard.
You mean in terms of lifting, the hardcore guys wouldn't lift the debt, or men and women would lift it. Yeah, I mean, what do I think of it? I think anything that shows the Democrats are there and trying in some way to make a difference over the horizon in people's lives is a good idea. Of course, I can imagine, in one sense, I can imagine Trump saying, okay, yeah, we'll shut the government. But as you and I have already observed, shutting the government is not a popular thing to do.
Yeah, lots of Republicans won't get their Social Security checks, Harvey K. That's not going to, you know, imbibe them to support this party, if that's the case.
Well, wait a minute. I get Social Security checks. Hold on a second. No, but seriously, it is striking. The Democrats should stand up on and make life difficult for the Republicans.
Yes, I agree.
However, I hope they're smart enough, really smart enough, and dynamic enough to get a message out as to why they're doing it. Now, we're not just doing this to obstruct government. We're not just doing this, basically, to embarrass the Republicans. Right. We're doing this because we have a vision and an agenda. And if we don't start challenging the Republicans, think of the nightmares that will ensue from all of these executive orders. I will say, this was interesting to me, that when FDR, I always go back to FDR,
yeah,
when FDR took power in 1933, when he was inaugurated, the first 100 days became legendary, not just famous, but legendary for the kinds of initiatives that were launched. But they were launched by way of congressional votes. They were legislated. Okay? We now have, and this is what makes it seem so horrific, we now have this slew of executive orders that have come out during this past week, which range from both the most serious kinds of things, like challenging the Constitution on birthright citizenship, rounding up people to deport them. I mean, serious stuff,
yeah.
As well as, to me, seriously silly things, such as the Gulf of what? America?
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, that's ridiculous. Our allies, nobody in the rest of the world is going to make that change in their vocabulary,
right,
in their atlases or otherwise. And there are some other silly things, but too much of it is very, very serious. So it's important for the Democrats to start making noise about the fact these are not legislative things,
right,
legislated things. These are executive orders that threaten the very meaning of democracy. I mean, they should really get out there and they've got to start pitching why.
Yeah, and certainly, folks are listening to the Dom Salvi Show. That's Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay. As it pertains to the debt ceiling fight, I think that's pretty easy. Well, you know, the only reason Republicans want to raise the debt ceiling is so they can fund the tax breaks for the wealthy. We want to make sure that, you know, that Social Security and Medicare are viable and for the future. That's, you know, and angle it and put it in that respect, because come on, man, there are way more of us than them, Harvey. I don't understand how this is so lopsided. The many over the money, man. The many can always beat the money if they, you know, speak with one voice.
Yeah, no, and you're right. I mean, what I'm getting at is they need to be already making that message heard. And right now, I mean, the only thing people know right now about the Democrats, if they know anything at all, is the fact that they've got this inside the party election going on, which seems to be coming down to the head of the Democratic Party here in Wisconsin, right?
Right.
Ben Wickler.
Wickler.
Mm-hmm. Versus Ken Martin, the head of the
Minnesota.
It's as if Wisconsin's playing Minnesota in that. What is the award? The Paul Bunyan?
Oh, yeah, the Axe. They play for the Axe.
yeah. So, I mean, as long as we can get the message out there as to why we're doing this, because, you know, the Republicans have a very, very loud megaphone that they're going to be shouting, look, these are the obstructionists. And they're going to depend on people not remembering who their obstructionists have been all these years.
Well, isn't that part of the fire hose of activity, is to keep people bouncing side to side, one foot to the other, trying to figure out what's going on? It's just a deluge of BS. In the meantime, they're you know, we're jumping around. They got their hands in our pockets, Harvey K.
It's funny. As you said that, I imagined the emoji on my phone that would fit that image. And there's one that where our heads are banged. It's like a head is going back and forth on the neck. One would have to sort of press it like 100 times to really get to the image of Americans' heads bouncing.
And we need to be cognizant of that, to not fall for the shiny objectism and stay focused on what matters. And it's relative to the people who are observing the activity. Does it matter to you, Harvey K., that every single Democratic senator condemned Trump's pardoning of the January 6th insurrectionists?
Yeah, it is amazing to me that there weren't more Republicans willing to join
More or any? or any zero, well, man. They're all.
It was zero. It was absolutely zero.
There are no senators, Republican senators. No.
I had this fantasy that the former head of the the former heads of these parties would. Well, there are Republicans around the country, but not where it's important that could sign up for that vote, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
No, horrific. Absolutely horrific. By the way, and let's be clear about what that implies, those pardons. He's released these folks who stormed the Capitol, invaded the inner sanctums of the Capitol, and threatened to hang the vice president of the day, who was a very conservative Republican.
He's still a Republican.
Sorry. Yes, indeed.
I mean, I'm telling you, Harvey, if I may interject, if I'm a member of a party and they all want to hang me,
Are you sticking around?
I think I'm going to start another party, man. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to go there, man. What?
Right. I don't want to belong to any party that wants to hang me. How's that for?
That's such a low bar. My God.
Right.
Folks are listening to the
Diamonds. I was going somewhere.
Yeah, go ahead.
That. Sorry.
All right, go ahead.
I was going somewhere with that. The point I was trying to get to is the fact that that's the creation of what in Italy were black shirts and in Nazi Germany, brown shirts. That's how you make this paramilitary force out there representing a threat. And let's not forget that vast numbers of people actually didn't get to vote in some places in this country because there was coercion used against them to vote. Greg Palast, a journalist, has a strong point to make that, in fact, those kinds of activities might well have cost Harris key votes in states.
Yeah, Greg's been on the show in the past, and, you know, you take 10,000 here, 50,000 there, a few thousand there, add them all up over on voter suppression. Yeah, that can certainly have an impact on the result, and that's kind of the point. It's always pressure, Harvey. I mean, that is the concern that we have. Are you satisfied with what we've seen so far? Right. Coming out of the Democratic Party is a pushback against this administration?
No, because we still do not have a real, if you like, core of leaders who are speaking on behalf of the Democratic Party. Okay, I don't think Schumer and Jeffries are dynamic enough, determined enough, and some of the remarks they've made I find absolutely upsetting. Okay, and.
I think Schumer is a little softer than Jeffries. I think Jeffries got some. He can be dynamic if he chooses to be. What do you remember specifically?
There was something about, you know, placing our hope in God. It was something along those lines.
That was Jeffries. Yeah, you texted to me, man.
That was Jeffries.
Come on, Jeffries.
I don't mind. I mean, you know, freedom of worship. But don't presume that God is going to intervene, or otherwise Trump wouldn't have won.
Maybe the devil intervened, Harvey K. Here's what Hakeem Jeffries at Rep Jeffries tweeted out. Presidents come and presidents go through it all. God is still on the throne. And my buddy's comment was, hell of a strategy. That's not a strategy. I mean, sure, but what are you going to do about it? Doesn't God help those who help themselves? Harvey, come back with us. Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay. We'll get to some of your calls as well. 855-752-4842.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Where are you at with dome stadiums?
Oh, love them. Snow games are awesome, but it's also a risk of injuries and everything.
Give me a dome anytime. I don't want to see elite athletes running on snow like it's me playing out there and tripping and slipping. I want to watch those guys run. I want the receivers to run and catch their passes. I want to see great athletes being great athletes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested.
Good news, your innocence is proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Seems everywhere in the state, housing has just gotten so expensive. Our current president ran on promises to help the middle class, and I'd like to know what he's going to do about the housing shortages. I went through the executive orders. I read through the speech transcript a couple of times. Nothing he really said or did in the first couple days has anything to do with helping the middle class.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
A teenage anarchist looking for revolution. I had the style, I had the ambition. Read all the authors, I knew the Russogans. There was a war, but the class.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy, our favorite Delano Democrat, with me today. Go ahead, Harvey.
Jess. You hear me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do me a favor. Whatever that song was, send me a
you
link.
You got
to that.
It. That was Teenage Anarchist by Against Me.
Oh, I got to put that on my Spotify. <to go. laughs>
I'm a middle-aged anarchist.
It doesn't have quite the same
ring.
I wish I could call myself middle-aged. But I've never called myself an anarchist, but I love the Chumbawamba. I mean, they were anarchists. No, I loved you. I used to love it when they played Chumbawamba's You Can Knock Me Down, whatever.
Yeah.
At Lambeau Field.
Right. You know you're listening to? We're listening to Harvey K. Once again, he's a professor emeritus of democracy. We still love democracy in this country, right? Right? From the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Got some callers going to get to you as well. 855-752-4842. Our pal from the leftist coast, L.A. Tom, you are up. Happy Monday, Tom. What do you got for us?
Hey, happy Monday, Dom. Harvey, I want to ask you, how is it that we can get two questions? One, how is it that we can get more people calling up and we can actually develop a strategy with all our senators and representatives on the Democratic side to say, I am a proud Franklin Delano Roosevelt Democrat? That's my first question. And my second question is, how do we get these politicians to stop saying, I don't take money from lobbyists, I don't meet with lobbyists, like AOC says? Why don't they just say, I want to fight to get money out of politics? I want to fight to get lobbyists out of politics. I would have a much more pleasurable message and going towards those people if they just said they want to get money out of politics. Even if they take it right now, I'd rather them say, I want to get money out of politics and do it that way rather than I don't take lobbyists or corporate money. It just doesn't really seem to do anything to people.
All right. Great questions, Tom. Thanks for calling. Harvey, what do you think?
I'll start with your second question, Tom. I would love to see controls on the monies in politics. It would be great to have public elections, but our opportunity to get that kind of change passed us by. There wasn't a moment when you had the likes, say, of McCain and Feingold working together to control those kinds of, you know, resources polluting our politics. I don't see that happening now. But to go back to your first question about how do we get more people saying I am an FDR Democrat? Well, I would love that. I wish we could have had Bernie saying that.
Yes.
The two times that he ran. I think that he would have actually found himself even more votes had he done so, because people might well have run from his democratic socialist language. The only thing I would tell you is that, and maybe this is not going to happen as much because we're supposedly moving out of the woke era, right? There are a lot of people who don't want to say FDR Democrat because it conjures up images of the days of still of segregation, or it conjures up the image of the internment of the Japanese Americans. I mean, there are reasons people do not want to use the term FDR Democrat. Having said that, I mean, I'd be more than happy to call myself a New Deal Democrat, something like that. But I'm more than happy also to say FDR Democrat, because to my mind, if I can just, I sent this to you as well, Dom. FDR said very clearly in the introduction to his volume, 1938 volume of public papers, "I have always believed that, and I frequently have stated that, the Democrats can succeed at the polls only so long as it continues to be the party of militant liberalism." And what did he mean by that? It is clearly, if you look closely at other things he said and at the policies and legislation he pursued, it means social democracy, okay? Not simply liberalism. Though liberalism itself is unfortunate, it's taken on the lack of, it's actually lost its aura. But that I think is essential for us to be talking in those terms. Yes, Tom.
855-752-4842. You know, the fact, the money in the politics thing, a few things, the lobbyists. I think we have the right to address our government, right? I mean, if I have a problem with X, Y, or Z, I can go to my legislator and lobby for changes, right? That is the action. Now, there are paid lobbyists, got that, understand that, would put, you know, do that for different organizations. I think that's appropriate. I think that is, you know, there could be a group of labor, you know, hey, we represent a lot of labor. We want, you know, these kinds of changes made to the laws and you know, whatever the case may be, we have the right to redress or address the government as a matter of our constitution. So I think that's okay. Now, the big problem is not the lobbying, not the asking, right? It's the delivering of the money that becomes a bigger problem. But wouldn't the value be, you know, really, hey, I can deliver these votes. You know, shouldn't you be able to persuade, if you're going to be a lobby for a position, to say, here's our position, here's why we want it, and here's the folks that are going to come along in this manner to push this. And if you support that, they will support you. Right? Is that like old fashioned to me, or is it all about just, you know, money in a duffel bag, Harvey?
Yes, that is old fashioned. But being old fashioned is okay by me. I may be a radical, but I'm a radical in an old fashioned way. I'm not a reactionary. Let's get that clear. Let's not lose touch with that word, reactionary, as opposed to radical. Radical was progressive. Reactionary really did want to go back to the kinds of things Trump would love to drag us back to.
But to your point on radical militant liberalism. I want to dive into that a little bit more on the other side. You're a smart guy, man. How does that pertain to today's environment in today's language? If things kind of change over time, as you mentioned, I want to get a better handle on that. And folks, we want to hear from you as well. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Harvey, on the other side as well, I want to get your take on how Donald Trump is seemingly taking a regular day's work and making a big deal out of it. 855-75-CIVIC. Come back with us.
The Tap. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation Division of Motor Vehicles is reminding residents that they can obtain free identification for voting. According to a press release, voters do not need to obtain one of the new Real ID cards in order to vote, even though the Real ID cards will be required for domestic air travel beginning this year. Voters can obtain a valid state ID that can be used at their polling sites for free through the DMV website. The full requirements to obtain a voter ID card can also be found on the Wisconsin Elections Commission website. On Friday, the Wisconsin Supreme Court agreed to hear arguments in a lawsuit over $50 million of funding to overhaul how public schools teach their students to read. Republican lawmakers sued Governor Tony Evers following line item vetoes on the bill, which gave the Department of Public Instruction the authority to decide how that money is spent rather than the state legislature. Since that partial veto, the Republican-controlled legislature has refused to release the funding, which could lead to the money being added back to the budget surplus. Chippewa Valley Regional Airport officials say they expect an increase in travelers this year with new flight options. The airport saw a 13% decrease in travelers in 2024, but with new daily service to Chicago through United Airlines and seasonal flights to Fort Myers through Sun Country Airlines, they expect travel numbers to bounce back in 2025. The Sun Country seasonal flights will begin operations on Friday and run through April 7th, but airport officials are also warning residents that if that service doesn't perform well, it could be canceled. The Eau Claire Police Department has announced the arrest of a suspect in connection to a Saturday morning homicide. According to law enforcement authorities, officers responded to reports of a shooting at a residence on Western Avenue at around 2 a.m. on Saturday. When they arrived, they attempted life-saving measures on the victim, but were unsuccessful. They say the suspect was quickly identified and arrested, and it is considered to be an isolated incident. Authorities have not yet shared the identities of the victim and suspect. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Really good actors are supposed to be fearless. Leonardo DiCaprio is typically one of them. That was not the case, though, on the set of Django Unchained. During a recent interview with Vanity Fair, Jamie Foxx recalled DiCaprio, who played a ruthless slave owner, had trouble saying words that were racial slurs, even though he was in character. According to Foxx, Samuel Jackson put DiCaprio at ease, saying, like only Samuel Jackson can, "You can say that, mother." DiCaprio got the point. If you've got $150 million burning a hole in your pocket, consider purchasing Tom Brady's house. The amazing quarterback and mediocre commentator is selling his mansion in Miami. Don't worry, renovations are done, and they must have been doozies, because he purchased the home in 2024 for $17 million smackers. Not many people pocket $133 mil on a sale. Anyone interested in pretending to be filthy rich and taking a tour? I'm in. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds tonight, low 20s. For tomorrow, early clouds, then breezy with some afternoon sun and warmer. Highs in the low 40s. Mild temps stick around for the rest of the week. Low 30s on Wednesday, mid-40s Thursday, mid-30s Friday. It's 32 degrees.
The Todd Alba Show.
The argument from my former party has been, it's not the guns, it's mental health. Well, no worries, folks. Governor Evers has got you covered. He introduced a plan to put millions of dollars into mental health, particularly for young kids. And the Republicans in the chamber did not clap. If you can't be it for kids, then what the heck can you be for? Jeepers, criminy.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Seems everywhere in the state, housing has just gotten so expensive. Our current president ran on promises to help the middle class, and I'd like to know what he's going to do about the housing shortages. I went through the executive orders. I read through the speech transcript a couple of times. Nothing he really said or did in the first couple days has anything to do with helping the middle class.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, friend and colleague Maggie Dawn joining us at 10:33 to talk all things Wisconsin. We will wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. I hope you can join us.
Matt and Air on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Sure.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay, joining me up until the 6 o'clock hour. You can join us as well, 855-75-CIVIC. Harvey, as we went to break, you had quoted something you texted me earlier this week, I guess it was just yesterday, regarding FDR. Quote, "I have always believed that, and I frequently have stated, that my own party, being the Democrats, can succeed at the polls only so long as it continues to be the party of militant liberalism," quote unquote. Militant liberalism, man, it sounds like a lot of marching and getting up early and wearing boots, Harvey. I don't know about that. So what does that mean to you, and how does it pertain to today?
Okay. Something that we don't often hear about FDR is the degree to which he really was trying to, in quotes, overthrow the Gilded Age that had begun in the late 19th century and had been under assault by the capital P progressive movement, both of Republicans and Democrats, in the first part of the century. However, after World War I, the Gilded Age ruling class, the corporate bosses, what he actually called the titans of industry, FDR called them the titans of industry, who he said had basically captured control of too much of American life. When he was running for office in 1932, he gave a talk at the Commonwealth Club in San Francisco, which is a rather elite venue to speak in. And he laid out a sort of thumbnail history of the United States, in which he said, look, we were founded with a promise made in the Declaration of Independence, but in our eagerness for economic and industrial development, we've allowed these industrial titans to usurp, to take over the powers that should belong to the people. And basically, I'm paraphrasing, stomp on the rights of Americans. So he actually called for, in that address at the Commonwealth Club, a new declaration. He called it an economic declaration of rights. And you've heard me talk about an economic bill of rights. If you look at FDR's 12-year presidency, it really was constantly this effort to enhance the small d democratic rights that Americans possessed. And he rooted those rights in the Declaration, in the idea of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And he said, look, what does it take to live? And what does it take? I mean, you could talk life, right? Okay. But what does it take to live? Okay. Food, clothing, and shelter at a minimum. But as America advanced, the needs increased, but the availability of the resources for working people did not always increase or were not always enhanced. What does liberty demand? Well, as he said very clearly on several occasions, a poor man is not a free man. Okay. Freedom requires capacities. You need to be enabled so that a certain kind of income, a certain kind of living is essential. So life and liberty are essential. And the pursuit of happiness, well, how the hell are you going to be able to pursue happiness
right,
if you don't have the wherewithal to do it? So to his mind, you had to take life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness as a fundamental idea of the American promise and ask what is required in this day in which we live. And thus he called for an economic declaration of rights for the forgotten man, those who had been left out of the Gilded Age power structure. So to him, militant liberalism was a pursuit of a politics that would both afford working people what they would need for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and empower them to secure it at the same time for themselves, which meant ultimately empowering them with the right to organize as a labor movement, empowering housewives in the 1930s to be able to stand up to businesses that were price gouging, even in the midst of the recovery from the Depression. So militant liberalism is a politics that enables and empowers working people. I have little doubt when I say that that's what he had in mind.
Folks are listening to the Dom Salve Show. Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. And that's what I was looking for, Professor, and thank you for that. Now, it seems like we're kind of right there again, man. You know, I mean, when you talk about the titans of industry having too much control, and I see, you know, Trump's billionaire cabinet. You know, so do you think that we are essentially back in that space, or did we ever leave?
Well, in fact, this is interesting. Between the 1930s New Deal years and the early 1970s, there was a significant enabling of people and a significant empowerment of people. Now, what I mean by that, for a start, even though the rich got richer in the course of the 40s and the 50s and into the 60s, so too did working people. And inequality actually decreased from about 1938 to about 1973, perhaps. But as I've said before here, in the early 70s, the corporate bosses, not unlike they tried to do to FDR, but failed in the 30s, the corporate bosses organized because they were afraid that the social movements of the 1960s and the persistent strength of the labor movement was going to, that democracy was going to weaken their capacity to operate as capitalists. It was already underway, the regulations, the taxation, and all that. There were interviews done, and this is fascinating to me, major figures at the New York Times and elsewhere were interviewing corporate leaders and asking them, you know, what do you see as the fundamental problems in America today? And there were those who said the fundamental problem is democracy. They had come to believe that democracy and capitalism could not coexist. And by the way, I would love to ask that question of Elon Musk today, okay, bluntly. I think he's made it fairly apparently clear as to what he thinks is essential. I just, you know, can't get over the fact that we have forgotten the degree to which from the early 70s to the present day, the corporate elite has sought to create, and we've called it the second Gilded Age already. In fact, if things go as Trump and his team of billionaires seem to want it to go, we'll enter not just a worse form of the Gilded Age. We probably call it
the Golden Age. It's the Golden Age is what he's referring it to now, Harvey.
So is he going to invite everyone up to his golden apartment in Trump
Tower?
Yeah,
man, they're already, you know, the whole Mega's meeting down at Mar-a-Lago to figure out their one big beautiful bill. You got his treasury pick saying, number one, we don't need to raise the minimum wage, and number two, the biggest crisis facing America is the expiration of the Trump tax cuts. Oh yeah, by the way, he's a billionaire. You know, so we're right back. I mean, whatever was going on with FDR, yes, that it's right here, right now. And if I'm hearing you right, Harvey, it was the enabling and empowerment of everyday voters seeking their life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness that pushed back, that enabled this to claw some of the resources and wealth back from the top 1% of the 1%, as Bernie Sanders would say. What does that mean today? The enabling and the empowerment to pursue the life, liberty, and happiness. How does that translate to today's action, in your opinion?
Well, for a start, it was in, I got to get my years right here.
A lot of years, man. Yeah.
So the first time Obama was elected was 2008, right?
Yes. Sounds
that's
right.
That's when the labor movement had requested the Employee Free Choice Act. And the idea of the Employee Free Choice Act was to make labor organizing possible in places where it had been blocked, and also to make it easier getting workers to sign on as opposed to their fear of the employer.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Obama did nothing to pursue that. Nothing. And keep in mind, in that first year, the Democrats had, what was it, a veto-proof majority. In that first year,
yeah,
did nothing.
Yeah.
Then, and so ever since then, the Democrats have talked about doing something about it, but they haven't fought to make it possible. And of course, their control over Congress is nothing like it was at various times in the past. So that's one thing. Another thing is that, as you've seen me argue many times, and I've written articles about it, and even produced a comic strip with Matt Strackbine, the letter hack, democracy, if we're going to save it, we need an economic bill of rights. The majority of Americans want an economic bill of rights. When will the Democrats come out in and declare themselves in pursuit of an economic bill of rights? Hell, FDR started with that as an idea and closed on that with an idea. And although he didn't pursue the, he knew he couldn't get it, you know, by 1944, but along the way, he created the kinds of legislative, you know, enactments that basically began to enable and empower Americans in favor of then pursuing the formal economic bill of rights.
Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. That is Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy, University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Let's get some callers in. Wisco, Paul, you will be next. Welcome. Happy Monday, Paulie. What do you got for us?
Thanks for taking my call. It's a little concerning to me. I think it was today that the president signed an executive order to ditch the Inflation Reduction Act, which has a lot of things in it for seniors, for drugs cost and several other really good things in it, and also to get rid of the infrastructure bill. And this was bipartisan. Now, he signed an executive order, and what I'm learning so far, no Republicans are going to stand up against this. So I ask you, with everything that's went on up to this point, the defense sector, well, I don't want to get too far off the track here. It doesn't seem to me there's anybody that's going to stand up against anything this man does. At least it's for sure not going to happen in a Republican Party, and they control all levers of government. But this is a big deal to sign an executive order on two things that help out the middle class, the people he said he was going to help. So I just like to ask Harvey, I don't know this, how this could even be possible, why anybody would even want to do this. It's just, I'm beside myself. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, Paulie, of course. Harvey, what are your thoughts?
Well, obviously, why do they want to do it? Because they want to be able to turn around and pass or sustain the Trump tax cuts. Okay. I mean, the guy sitting behind him in the rotunda at his inauguration, folks like that, they're like Trump whisperers. You know, they're horse whisperers, and they're probably whispering in his ear, don't forget the tax cuts, the $1 trillion tax cuts. Okay. I could take it up a little more.
I get that. Harvey, what about
but let me just add one thing. And the one thing I want to add is this. These are the kinds of things that at least the Democrats should be now raising. There ought to be TV ads, billboards. There ought to be a way for the Democrats to say, we believe that if we could take back the House and the Senate, okay, in 2026, we can start restoring America. We can start taking back America. They have to start campaigning for 2026.
But don't they have to define what that does for the American people? Look, I mean, Donald Trump ran and won on the economics, and Donald Trump hasn't done squat in the first week to address the price of eggs
almost certainly made them more expensive.
He's certainly made the coffee more expensive, given the Columbia kerfuffle, I'll call it, Harvey. And come back with us, 855-752-4842. My question and concern is the knowledge base of the American people. Number one, paying attention, you know, and it's hard to fight when you're barely getting by, you know, and to be able to articulate and specify what, if you put us in power and give us these controls, we're going to do X, Y, and Z. Well, we saw Obama go to power, and he didn't exercise those kinds of powers that he seemingly promised. There are a lot of disappointed Obama voters as well. So I'm concerned about the wherewithal of the American people to digest history, number one, and to you know, filter through the fire hose of issues and events that just constantly barrage us. We're going to constantly barrage you. Come back with us one last second. Tell us something good. 855-752-4842.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Today's job market is full of demand for skilled trade workers. Electricians, welders, mechanics, these and other trades are the backbone of every community. They're also a huge part in making sure the Army National Guard is always fulfilling its mission of service to our country and communities. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and supplies moving. The skilled trades these soldiers perform are the same ones needed in today's civilian workforce. Army National Guard soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. With options from plumber to helicopter mechanic and everything in between, soldiers are able to select the trades that best fit their lives. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession and serve your community and country by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
And welcome back to the Dom Salve Show. Last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now. 855-752-4842. Love it when you tell us something good in this segment. Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Before we get to the Tell Me Something Good segment, Harvey, your thoughts on us. You know, on us as a society and our ability to digest and wean out and govern ourselves rationally, man.
Well, I remain a romantic. I continue to believe that Americans deep down carry with them this ideal of what it means to be American, which literally, if properly engaged, would reject the likes of Trump and MAGA.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I got tattoos on my arm that say that. Life, liberty, and my existence. Me, I am the pursuit of that happiness that I seek, and people shouldn't be able to, that we got to protect those, you know, that right of life, liberty, and happiness. And I feel like we're not necessarily handing the power, but our lack of engagement, someone else fills the void, man. And usually, unfortunately, it's billionaires and folks that are cashing those checks doing that. 855-752-4842. Thoughts on that, Harvey?
And you are, and I have to tell you, I've done a lot of radio shows over the many years. You are, without a doubt, the most uplifting voice.
Oh, Harvey! That's, you know what? Buy something good for the day. A wonderful compliment from my friend Harvey. Thank you, man. It means a lot. Come from an old cat like you've been around, man. I appreciate that. How about you, Jess? You got anything good you want to share?
Yeah. This weekend, I went dancing with my husband. The world was scary, and we needed to dance. So that was something good, being surrounded by people who were also feeling all of the things, and decided to come together and dance about it. That's my something good.
And I'm going to do a little plug here. Mad Planet. Yeah. I love Mad Planet. River West, Milwaukee. Oh, check it out.
It is a place removed from time.
It really is. Was there, sometimes they do contests like, you know, Michael Jackson versus
Prince.
No.
It was
just a dance off.
Just a dance off, open requests. It was wonderful.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Good for you. That's awesome. Yeah. 855-752-4842. Northwards Terry. Oh, go ahead, Harvey. You go. You
well,
go.
I was going to say, I what I said to you was not my planned good
no,
thing.
No, I get that, but I'll take it, man.
But I do want to say, before we leave today, I have something very important, that two items that are really good.
Oh, you big tease. All right, Nora, Terry, you are next. Harvey's going to hold off to the end. Welcome, Terry. What do you got for us?
Well, that second football game yesterday was really good.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
Well, and I guess I'm okay with the Chiefs advancing with Taylor Swift and Herb Bowl, Travis.
Yeah, the brothers. Yep. The other one's the announcer now. Yeah. I was entertained, Terry.
Yes. Second thing I got, can I get serious for a second?
Sure, go ahead.
Five presidents that helped the middle class. I just read this article yesterday in between football games. The five were JFK, LBJ, Clinton, Eisenhower, and my brain went blank here.
How about FDR? Was FDR?
There it is.
There.
Yeah. Yeah. The obvious one. Thanks, Dom.
Hey, Harvey. All right. Thank you, Terry. Harvey, you got to love that. Lori, also from the Northwoods, a lot of Northwoods listeners. Thank you, Lori. Welcome. Tell us something good.
My something good is that even though Trump is trying to do away with drug policies that Biden has put in place, the new medications that Medicare has agreed to pay for this year cannot be taken away from people if they have insurance that has started the first of the year and covers that. They are safe for those drugs until the end of the year, until the beginning of next year. That's my good news for people.
All right, Lori. I was unaware. Thank you for enlightening me and the audience. 855-752-4842. Okay, Harvey, I want to give you some time. I know you got a couple. Lay it on us, brother.
Okay, this is a joint one. Okay, as you already have figured out, I'm sure, my historical heroes are Thomas Paine of the American Revolution and Franklin Roosevelt of the 20th century. These are my political heroes. This week, every year, is a big week for me. This Wednesday, January 29th, is Thomas Paine's birthday.
Nice.
This Thursday, January 30th, is FDR's birthday. So I get to celebrate not mine, but Thomas Paine and FDR's birthday back to back.
Nice.
What do you do to celebrate those birthdays?
Good question. What do you do, Harvey?
I haven't. Well, this Wednesday, we're going to probably have sushi in honor of Thomas Paine. And on Thursday,
of Thomas Paine?
Yeah, well, he probably never tasted sushi, but he probably did eat raw fish somewhere along the way. And then on Thursday, my really best buddy up here in Green Bay, John Shelton, the labor historian, vice president of the American Federation of Teachers here in the state, he and I will go for our drinks on Thursday late in the day and celebrate FDR's memory and legacy.
Oh, most excellent. Will those be adult beverages? And what's your poison if you pick one, Harvey?
We used to go for beers, yeah. And then I decided that there was too many carbs there. So we will drink bourbon.
A little bourbon.
Bourbon? All right.
Harvey K., thank you so much, man. It's always a pleasure. I mean it to hang out with you and have these conversations. Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Thank you, Jess P.S., for all that you do. Thank you to our callers, our audience. Thanks for hanging out with us. Now stick around. Pete Schwabba Nightlight is coming up next. And don't forget, tomorrow it'll be overtime with Maggie Dawn. Tune in. Thanks, Harvey.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome comedian and founder of Chip's Money Tips, Chip Chinnery, and filmmaker Nathan Deming, who is touring Wisconsin to promote his film February. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Where are you at with dome stadiums?
Oh, love them. Snow games are awesome, but it's also a risk of injuries and everything.
Give me a dome anytime. I don't want to see elite athletes running on snow like it's me playing out there and tripping and slipping. I want to watch those guys run. I want the receivers to run and catch their passes. I want to see great athletes being great athletes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump speaking in Florida says his campaign promises are being kept as he deports migrants living in the U.S. illegally.
For the first time in history, we're locating and loading illegal aliens into military aircraft and flying them back to the places from which they came.
Scott Bessent has just been confirmed by the Senate as U.S. Treasury Secretary. Those who work at the CDC are coming to terms with their new directive: no more contact with the World Health Organization. CBS's Alexander Tin.
The sweeping gag order affects hundreds of staff who work with the UN agency on a broad range of health threats. That includes preparing for which strains are supposed to be targeted by next season's influenza vaccines.
The president fires more than a dozen prosecutors who worked with former special counsel Jack Smith.
The federal prosecutors were informed of the decision to terminate their positions via a letter sent over email after Justice Department leadership determined that they were unable to carry out Mr. Trump's agenda.
CBS's Jake Rosen. CBS News Brief. I'm Matt Piper.